Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Thornton gets the inbounds pass, catches it. Technically, she's traveling, but hey, this game is over, and the Valkyries win 88-77. What a win for the GSB tonight against Indiana.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Dan on the call.
AD on the call.
Yes. By the way, who's the name? It's hard for me to pronounce her name. The one who had four blocks.
Amahir.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Letitia Amahir. I believe.
She did something very impressive last night, and I'm not talking about the four blocks.
Carter's favorite player.
She actually walked twice on one drive.
What?
She walked twice on one drive and got called for neither. She went left. She was out near the top of the circle. She walked, then put it on the floor, then walked again and scored.
Well, you can't spell WNBA Steiny without MBA. And they do a whole lot of walking in that league. I don't know if you're aware.
They do. They do. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I kind of forgot the finals were on last night. I swear to God. The NBA Finals, Game 6, and at 7 o'clock, that game's half over. And I'm watching, I'll say it. I'm watching Vern Glenn on the pregame show. The Valkyries pregame show, not even knowing the Thunder are playing the Pacers.
It might sound crazy to a lot of people, but like we're being serious. Yesterday, for those who listen, and I didn't realize it until I saw you at the cafeteria, we didn't talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals at all.
Nope.
And it really just because it wasn't honestly top of mind. There was nothing about Game 6 last night that was really compelling to me. Now, Game 7 on Sunday is a different story. I think Game 7, best two words in sports. But, you know, I walk into Chase Center and we get down to the media section. And they have the games on the televisions in the Jim Barnett media room. And I realize, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Pacers up by 17. Huh. All right, well, Caitlin Clark's playing in about 20 minutes. I think I'm going to go out and watch some pregame. Like, yeah. I'd rather watch warmups.
I would suspect that Monday we'll be talking a little bit about the NBA Finals, considering you're right, it's a Game 7 Sunday, but we'll also be talking about the Red Sox and Giants, I'm sure.
Oh, that's a big series.
I just have not been into the Finals, and I actually am not sure why. It has nothing to do with the market size of each team or that I don't have any interest in either team. So I don't know what it is. Risotto, how come I'm not watching a lot of the NBA Finals?
I think the 619 is kind of onto something. Because I noticed this too during this week. The Finals feel so far apart from each game, I just forget when it's supposed to be on. Like I knew that Game 6 was on, but yesterday it didn't hit me that it was like, oh, like Thursday, appointment viewing, 5 o'clock, gotta watch Game 6. Because now I got to wait 2 more days until the next. In fact, the only reason I know it's game seven is because it's going to be on a Sunday. You know, if it was a Monday, I might lose track of it sometime between now and this weekend.
You know what? This is kind of interesting, and I wonder if it is part of it. The Patrick McCaw fan club on YouTube. It's ESPN's fault. Terrible coverage. There might be some truth to that. Now, I'm not watching because it's ESPN, but I'm probably not going to watch any of the pre or post game shows. I'm just not. And those are typically the shows that if you're into it, you'll watch, and then they get you excited about the game. But I don't want to hear those guys before a game.
Well, I think it's also about the coverage between games. Like, I'm going to be honest. Every single time I look up at ESPN and they're talking about Pacers or Thunder, it's always, this guy's got to do more.
Right.
Or, this guy is building a legacy. Or, this guy let his team down. And it feels like it's just a spitballing of repetitive takes trying to basically make an extreme example out of one player or one team. And it's either we're crowning the OKC Thunder as this historic all-time team, or the Pacers are the underdogs that no one thought could get here, and Halliburton's actually a superstar who's the least overrated player in the league, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player in Thunder. Like, there's so many extreme takes that I feel like are being tossed out between games. I understand that's their job, and to some extent we do the same thing. But Steiny, it just, every time I look up, like, the headlines are all the same headlines. And so it's really hard for me to keep track of what they're actually talking about.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't need to hear Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to step up after every loss. I don't have to listen to guys talk about how Halliburton's got to step up after every loss and how that was an unprofessional performance. And that, it's like, don't you get it? It's game six. If you have a game to play with, you cannot convince yourself that it's a game seven. You just can't. It's a game seven for the team that's down. Like, I'm always confounded by the people who today will be like, boy, what? Like my main man, Joe Hawk, Steiny, did the Thunder miss an opportunity last night?
I think I actually asked you that one.
And I was like, no, not really, because it doesn't sound like they were really in the game. But I guess the hardest thing to do for those guys on the Oklahoma City Thunder is try to convince themselves that there really isn't a game seven and that game six is the game seven. And if you can't do that, you're probably not going to win the game because it is a game seven for the other team.
Well, and they admitted as much. Like, I think Jalen Williams, who is a minus 40, he was talking about how he really didn't think about it and approached it the same way. But SGA said, yeah, it was in the back of our minds. Like, that to me, that's nerves. That's pressure. And for a team that hasn't done it before, that's, I don't know if it's a blown opportunity, but again, these are all things that I find interesting, but I don't hear talked about in the middle or during the games. Or a quote like SGA saying, yeah, you know, the closeout opportunity was one that was in the back of our minds. Then I'll wake up today and I'll see a headline, SGA admits moment was too big. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like every single moment of honesty from an athlete in those kinds of situations, and it's not just ESPN, it's like it just gets extrapolated to this, I don't know, into this narrative that isn't even recognizable based on the quote that I just listened to.
Yeah, and I, as for Oklahoma City, I get it that, you know, they'd like to win this series, but the idea that if they lose this series, that, I don't know, that I almost feel like when a team loses a finals, they get written off for good. And I'll say, well, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are young. They got a great core. They're going to be good for a while. Well, you can't assume that, and you're right. But, like, I look at what Oklahoma City's done, and to me, they're exactly where they need to be. They're in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals a year after they lost in the second round, so they've almost gone twice as far. It's like, this is usually what happens in the NBA. You get beat a couple times, and then you overcome.
Yeah, but I also think that there is, like, nothing's promised. I know everyone just thinks that the Thunder are going to be back, but there's also reasons, Steiny, why there hasn't been a back-to-back champion in this decade. Like, things happen really fast, and so while I don't think that last night was necessarily a blown opportunity, if the Thunder don't win Game 7 at home, I kind of will look at it like a missed opportunity for them, because this was their year. I mean, seriously, like, they are and have been the best team in basketball the entire season from start to finish.
Right.
And all that matters really is that they're the best team for one more game. Like, and you never know what a loss like that could do to a team that young.
No, you're right. I was thinking more, I didn't realize when you said missed an opportunity that you were meaning missed an opportunity to win the NBA Finals. I thought you meant the specific game last night. Did they miss an opportunity? And because the way I was thinking about it is if Oklahoma City loses Game 7, like, that's the one they're going to talk about.
Yeah, they're going to be kicking themselves for a long time.
Right.
Even if they go ahead and win a championship, everyone will always be talking about, well, they should have had one more. You know, they lost to the Pacers.
Right, right.
But again, it wasn't top of mind last night.
No,
it just wasn't.
That's the part that is I totally forgot. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. I saw quick little thing on Giannis. Somebody
what about
had,
him?
They had five trade proposals for Giannis, and one of them had him coming to the Warriors. You want to know for who?
Sure, hit me.
Draymond Green, Pods, Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and two firsts.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would. Would you? And if not, why? Now, I don't think that deal is going to happen.
Right.
But if we're playing that game, you're telling me, Matt Steinmetz, right now, you would not do that deal.
I haven't said anything yet, Evan. I haven't said I would or
no,
I wouldn't.
No, but your apprehension and silence is speaking volumes.
Well, that's because I want to make a list of the other players who will be on this team after. But maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would do that deal. Tell me, bring Giannis and pair him with Curry and Jimmy? Oh, baby.
Okay, then who's left?
Well, not Pods and Kuminga.
Santos.
He's on a team contract. Actually, he might be a vet minimum option.
I guess I would. That would be, you know what that would be? That would be like the Devers trade. I guess we got to do it. We'd have to do it.
That would be like, I'm trying to think about, with all due respect, Devers is not the same player as Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if there is a player right now that I would compare that deal to, but you're right. It's one you'd have to do. And I think the Warriors are trying to figure out, like, do you think the Butler deal was something they had to do? I kind of think it was.
My answer would be yes. And it's because I heard a piece of sound from Steve Kerr, recently on a podcast with Tom Tolbert, and they asked Steve about the Durant thing, and Steve said, I thought the way this was phrased was interesting. Steve said, well, it was well documented that we went after Kevin Durant, but we didn't get Kevin Durant. And that's when Mike called me and said, we're going to trade for Jimmy Butler. I'm going to vouch for him. I played with him 3 years in Chicago. Like, believe it or not, when Kerr said that, it made it sound like they had Butler on the back burner if they needed him. And it got down to that, and that's when Mike Dunleavy said, we're going to go get Butler. Like, they knew they had an opportunity to get Butler, and they waited a little bit and waited. If anything else materialized, it didn't. They went and got Butler.
Well, and that's why it's not exactly the same, but I the moment the Giants traded for Rafi Devers, I texted you guys, they got their Jimmy Butler. And it's less about the person than it is the situation of the franchises. The Warriors had to make that deal, no matter what it cost them. And it didn't cost them much, but the Giants also didn't have to give up a whole lot to get Devers. The one thing they both had to commit, more so the Giants than the Warriors, was money and time to basically pick a direction and choose a path. And the Warriors' commitment towards that path is much shorter than the Giants. But they were both in situations where I just can't imagine, whether it's Dunleavy or Posey, or whoever's getting these deals done, is looking around and saying, we can't do it. Like, who in those front offices said we can't do it? Whether you think that there's consequences or ramifications to each, which there are, they were both in positions where it's like, dude, we got to pull the trigger on this. I think they're so similar with the positions and the kinds of players that they are.
Steven has his sound. So let's take a listen to it from Steve Kerr.
I think it's well documented. We were trying to get Kevin Durant.
Yep.
That didn't happen. Mike calls me and he goes, hey, I think we're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. I'm going to vouch for him. We played with him for 3 years in Chicago. Guy's a gamer, hell of a player. I think that's going to work. And I said, great, let's do it.
There it is. We're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. Like, they had it. They knew they could get Butler. This is my interpretation. Just the way he said that. Mike called me and said, we're just going to trade for Butler. That means that, again, they were dealing with Miami, and they knew they had a deal so they could look at everything else. And at the end of the day, it also seems to me like, and it's not, doesn't matter. He was kind of their last option.
He was definitely their second option.
After Durant?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think it was like their safety move. It was like their safety school. When you apply to a college, why would Steve say, Mike would say, Steve, we're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. It sounds like almost like resignation, if you know what I mean. I know I'm parsing here, but I was just thinking about it.
Well, I think they were in a position where they had to do it. Like, there was no other alternative.
And that's my original point is that's why I said yes. I do think now, looking back, they thought they needed to do it.
Well, it's because the alternative is you spiraling. And I don't know if the Giants would have done the same, but I think one of the reasons why Posey, from at least the timeline of it, decided that this was going to be something that he wanted to get done was because he was afraid that they were probably going to be a team that eventually hit a wall. And the Warriors had already hit that wall. Like,
true,
they had to get a deal done because they were, like, that team was going nowhere. And even though Curry played a lot better after, like, he clearly found a different level because of Butler. The point is, I think that Posey was in the same place that Dunleavy was, which is, our team is good, but it's flawed, and it's going to lead us nowhere. Like, we have to, if this player's available, we have to acquire his services because it helps us right now get better. It'll help us in the near future. And there might not be another opportunity to get a player of this stature. Like, everyone has thrown around Giannis, and we love all the hypotheticals. I never thought last year, this year, moving forward, I don't think Giannis is ever going to be a Warrior. You can't keep waiting, and I think the Warriors finally ran out of patience. You can't keep waiting for that guy to just fall into your hands. Sometimes you have to make a move. And the Warriors' clock is obviously has a lot less time on it than the Giants. But I think that Posey probably had the same sort of alarm clock in his head. Like, dude, if we don't get this done, I don't know when another Devers is going to be available. So right. We have to do it.
No, I do think there are a lot of similarities, absolutely, with the deal. The one thing about, I think the commonality between both trades is that, I'm sorry, and maybe this is my regional bias, but I feel like both trades were too good to be true. And that's why the Warriors did it, and that's why the Giants did it. If and we'll play some more of this sound, but if Buster Posey convinced Breslow to forget about Eldridge, and Breslow didn't want to play a 5-week game with Buster Posey and said, fine, he's not a must. Posey looks at those four guys that he got rid of, and like, I see, you have to do that deal. And the same with Butler. I mean, I remember when we were talking about Butler. Sonny, do you want Butler? Not really. How come? I don't want to give up three draft picks for Jimmy Butler. Well, it turns out you didn't have to give up three. In fact, you only gave up one, and it was protected. And you also got off Wiggins' contract. So, yeah, like the Butler deal, both franchises thought they were going to have to give up more for each player, I believe. And when they saw what they had to give up, I think both the Giants and the Warriors were like, well, that's not that much. We got to do this.
I don't know if they thought they'd have to give up more, but I think that they also, look, they both took advantage of situations that had soured and that were, like, that weren't able to be repaired. Boston right. clearly was at a point where they were done with Devers, and or Devers was done with them. I thought that Jeff Passan wrote a really interesting story this morning about some of the, I don't know if you want to call it a smear campaign against Devers, or some of the things that were written about him that were unfair, and how most of the onus is on the Boston Red Sox for that
right.
For that breakup. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat are, look, it's a, they just didn't want to pay him. Like, they did not want to pay Jimmy Butler. That's what it comes down to. And at the end of the day, I think the Red Sox also got to a point where they didn't want to pay Rafi Devers. They didn't want to pay the rest of that contract. And so both the Warriors and the Giants found themselves in a position where all they had to answer was one question. Do we want to pay these guys? And they both determined the answer was yes. The Warriors wanted to pay Jimmy Butler and give him that $60 million deal. Or 60 a year, and then the Giants were, dude, we'll foot the bill. That's fine. You can have a, you know, our fifth starter, reliever, and a prospect from last year we may or may never see. But we'll eat the money. Like, we'll eat the money.
Yeah. What Posey did, I think, was saw a player that was going to be the best hitter on the roster, and didn't have to give up an everyday player, and it was a very easy decision. Like, I don't think, you know, I wonder about what's going to happen in 8 years, but I don't think there's one Giants fan that disliked the trade for Rafael Devers. It was that much of a no-brainer. And even if Devers plays 3 years and the next four and the latter four or five are bad, let's say, everybody's going to look back and say, yeah, but we knew that was a risk and we decided it was still worth it. Like, the Giants know that in 2032 or whenever it is, guess what? They're going to have two guys on the roster, Adamas and Devers, who aren't living up to their contracts. Like, they've taken that into consideration. Like, they're probably under no illusion that Devers at 37 is going to hit 30 homers. But that was part of what was factored in to Posey's thinking, and he clearly is okay with what happens when these guys start to decline a little bit.
Well, it's just,
like, you got to prepare for that.
No, well, you can't. Like, Devers could take a dive next year. You never know. But that's the other part. Like, there's no perfect move out there. The idea that the Giants or the Warriors or the Niners or any sports team for that matter, I think we've been a little bit misled by the idea that the 2016 free agent acquisition of Kevin Durant is out there. Like that move is one that every team can make every time that they need something. That's a one in a million type of ad. Like Kevin Durant is not walking through that. 2016 Kevin Durant is not walking through any door. The Warriors did not have to give up anything but a contract to get him. So you got to give up something. And you have to be willing to run with the risk of individuals like a Devers. And the risk is he might not age well. Jimmy Butler, well, he's already looking like he might be aging a little bit poorly. But those are risks that the Warriors and the Giants were willing to take. There is one big difference, though, that I want to tell you about on the other side.
Yeah, because there's something I want to add to this, too, because I think it's kind of interesting. If you guys want to join in, you know the number, 888-957-9570. Hey, are you planning a road trip? Tahoe? Napa? Maybe down the coast? Make your first stop Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, done in about 15 minutes. Your ride's going to be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for coupons. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Hey, in case you missed last night's game, the Golden State Valkyries defeated Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever in a huge win at Chase Center last night. Here's what the energy sounded like. Take a listen.
Foul line, driving right alley. Blocked by Burton! Great help defense! Hayes, baseball pass ahead to Bibby with Colson to beat. She lays it in! Timeout, Fever! Backing down, back for Burton. Open 25, Butters good! 69-65, Gordon, three! Great dance! Bounce by seven, their new largest lead of the game with 4:50 to go. Pass fake, fires a straight on three, just a little strong. Secures her own miss, goes right down the lane! Step through to Thornton for three. It's good. It's Bird behind the back. Three to shoot. Stepping back. 18-footer. Bola Knights. Good night, Indiana. 87-77. This place is so loud that when they called timeout, they didn't even stop the clock. They couldn't hear the whistle. What a win for the GSV tonight against Indiana.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.